There, I've got it. Okay, our first lesson is from Isaiah, and it's chapter 58 and starting with verse 3. Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I chose? A day for a person to humble himself. Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is this not the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer you. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read Psalm 112 responsively. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord.
Who greatly delights in his commandments.
His offspring will be mighty in the land.
The generation of the upright will be blessed.
Wealth and riches are in his house.
And his righteousness endures forever.
Light dawns in the darkness for the upright.
He is gracious, merciful, and righteous.
It is well with the man who deals generously and lends.
Who conducts his affairs with justice.
For the righteous will never be moved.
He will be remembered forever.
He is not afraid of bad news.
His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord.
His heart is steady, he will not be afraid.
Until he looks in triumph on his adversaries.
He has distributed freely, he has given to the poor.
His righteousness endures forever, his horn is exalted in honor.
Our second lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting with verse 1. I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it's not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We rise for our gospel acclamation, the Alleluia.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go?
Alleluia, you have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Congregation may be seated. I invite the children that are present to come forward for a children's message. I brought two bags with me tonight, and they both have the same thing in them, but they both are different. The same, but different. You know what's in this bag? Salt. In fact, it says safety salt. You know where I got this bag of salt? At Madonna Towers, you read that. Good for you. Yeah, Madonna Towers, they have it in a basket, and they want people to take one, keep one in your car, because maybe you drive somewhere, and you're about to get out, and you go, oh, my goodness, there's ice there. So you've got it, and you can sprinkle it there, right? Sidewalks and sometimes parking lots and roads can be slippery, so what do? We sprinkle salt, because what does salt do? Yeah, it melts it, right? Yeah, makes it not be slippery where you get hurt. So this came from only a couple blocks away, but this bag has some salt in it. It's what? The salt you eat. Well, this is not exactly the salt you eat. Have you ever heard of a country by the name of Israel? Yeah, Jesus was born in Israel, right? Yep. And in Israel, there is this great big sea that's called the Dead Sea, or the Salt Sea. They call it the Dead Sea because nothing lives in it. They call it the Salt Sea because there's a lot of salt. And this is where I got this. In 1991, I was in Israel, and I got this lump of salt. It's on the lower part of the Dead Sea there, and I was able to bring it back with me. In the Bible, there's a story that you'll hear about sometime in Saturday school about a man named Lot. And when he was leaving a city called Sodom and Gomorrah that was really not doing stuff that God liked, and all of a sudden there was like a fiery explosion there, right? And God said, don't look back, just keep walking. And Lot's wife looked back, and guess what happened? She turned into a statue, a pillar of salt, right? So we think of salt, right? Two bags, different kinds of salt, but the same. And I brought those with tonight because Jesus says, in case you ever forget, I mean, like if your mom or your dad or your grandma or grandpa, they say, you know, Emma, you're kind of salty. You know, Scarlett, you're kind of salty. You know, Luke, you're kind of salty. If they ever say that to you, they're just telling you what Jesus said. Because Jesus says you are the salt of the earth. And salt can melt ice, right? But what else is salt good for? You ever use salt for anything else? What?
I put it on my mashed potatoes.
For what?
For mashed potatoes.
Mashed potatoes, like on your food? Yep, or on corn on the cob, right? So salt gives flavor, right? We add salt for flavor. Anybody here do any baking? Yeah, usually recipes will say maybe like a pinch or a little bit of salt. But if you don't, one time I forgot. I was making cookies. I forgot to put the salt in. And they didn't rise. They just got flat and hard. And I thought, huh, what happened? Then it's go, ah, I forgot the salt. Salt's important. Did you know you got salt in your body? Yeah, in fact, if you don't have salt in your body, what's going to happen to them? They're going to die. What happens if they got too much salt in their body? They're going to die, right? So you got to have salt, but you can't have too much of it, right? Unless that salt is Jesus, and you can never get too much of Jesus, right? And salt also is called a preservative. It keeps things from rotting, spoiling, going bad, and dying. So why do you think Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth"? Does he want me to take you out there when we've got ice and sprinkle you and melt that ice? Probably not, but maybe. I mean, he might want you to go out there and use some other salt, right, to make it safe for people to walk. But maybe it's because Jesus knows that when he lives in your heart and in your life, that you are going to add flavor to the lives of others, and you will be giving them a preservative that will give them life. So when someone says to you, "Please pass the salt," it's not just about good manners at the table, right? No, it's about giving people Jesus. Because when you pass the salt, when you share the love of God, people get life, real life. Will you pray with me? Let's fold our hands, and we'll do a repeat prayer, okay? You repeat after me. Dear Jesus, you are the salt of the earth. You live in me. Pass me around. Amen. Thanks for coming up. Don't forget your shoe. He's walking and running, and everywhere he's going with Jesus right inside of him, and he's just, you saw it, right, Jay? Sparkling light. I mean, you can't miss it. And if it had been really dark in here, they would have said, "What's that light?" And I know what all of you all would have said. That's Jesus shining through Luke. Yes. D.L. Moody, a number of years ago, when he was alive and preaching, had this quote: "A holy life makes the deepest impression. A holy life makes the deepest impression. Lighthouses don't blow horns. They just shine." Lighthouses don't blow horns. They just shine. When we present the candle to a child, we say, "Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Now, I've been thinking about that word "your," or the word "you." Because in English, when someone says "you," do they mean second person singular or second person plural? So let your light shine. What? You see, in our gospel reading for tonight, it's y'all. They say that down south, you know. Or I could have said, "You folks are the salt of the earth. You folks are the light of the world. You folks," well, because you're residents in the city of God, you are a city on a hill. So why do people light a lamp? So that they can hide it under a bushel basket? That'd be crazy. Why do people pass the salt? So that someone can put it up in the cupboard and keep it there indefinitely? Now, I've traveled to Israel, some of you have too, and when you're around the Sea of Galilee at night, you can see those high elevations where people built cities. Visibility, protection, but it also means vulnerability. When you are a city on a hill, you can't hide. People are going to know where you're at, and if they don't love Jesus, you might find yourself under attack. Did you notice in our gospel for tonight, Jesus did not say, "Why don't you work at being salt? Why don't you produce a little light?" He didn't say that. He also didn't say that you will become salt. He simply says, present tense indicative, you know that language, you are. He's making a statement of fact. Oh, but I didn't know that. Or, oh, I don't feel like salt. Or, I don't feel like light. Well, that's why Jesus didn't say, I think you should feel like salt. Or, I think you should feel like light. He just flat out pronounced it and proclaimed that you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And of course, we know Jesus is the light of the world. So what exactly is your light? What exactly is your salt? Well, it's Jesus. And as he abides, lives in you, in me, in we all, the Father gets glory as people see our good works. And the good works of you all, right, you folks, is going to be different from the good works that are done in ordinary daily life. Because we've got Jesus in us, and we want him to be manifested as an epiphany of God's glory and grace to the world. You are citizens of a city on a hill. Mary, last summer, she is an ad executive working and living in New York City. Mary was last summer eating in a cafe with a couple of friends, and all of a sudden, a homeless man came in. And he approached her and said, do you have some money? Now, Mary realized right away, I don't have any money. No cash. A lot of people nowadays don't carry cash. They carry like debit cards. Oh, but she had an American Express card. So you know what Mary did? She said, I don't have any cash, but I'll tell you what. Here, I've got my American Express card. Why don't you take this, go and buy what you need, and then you can bring it back to me. Her two friends that were eating with her, one said, are you nuts? The other one said, you better call right away and cancel that credit card. You're never going to see it again. Mary said, so why is it that you think we should only trust people that we know? They finished eating their lunch, and right as they were ending their lunch, here comes in the homeless man, Jay Valentine. And he comes in, and he hands her her American Express credit card back, along with the receipt. He bought some water, some body wash, some soap, and some cigarettes, $25, and gave her the receipt and her credit card. And someone had asked this man, who had been homeless for about 3 years, Jay Valentine had been in a realtor. He was a realtor for a number of years, lost his job, and then ended up on the streets homeless. And they said, didn't you think about just keeping this or using it for other purposes? He said, why would someone do that? He said, that would be violating a gift. I hope that people don't just assume that because of how I'm dressed, that they can't trust me. You all are the light of the world. You all are a city on a hill because Christ abides in you and you are citizens of his kingdom. You all are the salt of the earth. It's not about becoming, it's just about being. But a city on a hill, as I said, subjects itself to risk because you can't hide. You're right there. Yesterday, I was looking at the news on my computer, and I saw this little thing, this YouTube vignette that evidently people are watching. It was about a nurse that lives and works in Texas. African-American. She had these big dangly earrings on in the shape of a cross. And I was thinking, wow, I wonder if that means that she's a Christian. I didn't know. And then all of a sudden, the YouTube thing starts to play. Here she is. There is an older lady. She's in her 90s. Her husband passed away about 6 months ago. And so here is this nurse. Very carefully, very kindly, very gently, she is putting spoon by spoon the food into this older woman's mouth, who's very frail. And as she's doing it, she is singing to this woman. This woman, in her 90s, her husband died 6 months ago. His favorite hymn was, "Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art." I mean, right there, right? Is it in her job description? Well, you mean at the hospital? Or as a baptized child of God? Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works. The holy works of God, Jesus, right there abiding, living in you, for you, through you, for the sake of the world. You all know who you are. And if you forget, which I do sometimes, I need to be reminded. So we turn to the scriptures. We read the word of God, and Jesus says, you know who you all are, right? Or we go to church, which is what practicing Christians do. I don't know. If you're not a practicing Christian, is that like a oxymoron or something? Huh? I'm a non-practicing Christian? I don't know what that means. We worship and we hear the good news. You are. You are. You know you are. And we continue to need the voices of God's people reminding us of who we are, because we're in a world that doesn't always embrace or love Jesus. You heard that last week. Remember the song of Simeon? Simeon is holding the baby Jesus, 40 days old, in his hands. And he looks at Mary and Joseph and says, you know, this child, this baby Jesus is set for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that will be opposed. And Mary, a sword will pass through your own heart. She will be at the cross watching her son die. You know who you are. You are, you all, right? You folks, a city on the hill. Your citizenship is not here in the United States. It's in the kingdom of God. That's who we are. Think about that. A city on a hill. You know what I thought about this week as soon as I was hearing those words again? I know what you're thinking. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. You know that hymn, right? On a hill. What happened on a hill? On a Good Friday, Golgotha, Calvary, the place of the skull. God's only begotten Son, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, was sacrificed, offered a ransom for our sins. Do you see how we become a city on a hill? When we are united with the death of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus. That's who we are. That's why Paul, when he's preaching to the Corinthians, he says, you need to remember your call. God didn't choose any of you, you all, because you were so great and wonderful and gifted. God chooses sinners and he redeems us. He saves us. God chooses what is of no account in this world. People that are despised, that insignificant, like a homeless man in New York City, to shame the proud. God chooses what is foolish. The cross, Paul says, is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those of us who are being saved, it's the power of God. Yeah. The wisdom of God, the sanctification of God, the righteousness of God, the cross of Jesus, that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. You don't have to become. You don't even have to work at being. You just have to remember who you are, right? We sometimes forget who we are. You are God's salt. You are God's light. And because it's plural and not individual or privatized, because we sometimes want to do that, my friends, you know, well, tell me about your personal relationship with Jesus. And that may be well and good, but we are baptized into the body of Christ. Paul says that we are communal. When one suffers, all suffer. When one is honored, all rejoice. So there's a reason why that second person pronoun is in the plural. Because, for example, when a baby is baptized here, and we say, let your light so shine, they're pretty small. But there's parents, there's godparents, there's a pastor, and there's you all that have just made promises to place the scriptures in their hands, to provide further instruction in the Christian faith, to teach them the Lord's Prayer, the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed. You know those promises. You like to think that, oh, yeah, but that's just mom and dad, right? You're not telling me I'm responsible, are you? Of course we are. So, you know why it's so important to be in church all the time? We had a Bible study this past week. We've been looking at Luther's Small Catechism, and I said, so does going to church save you? Of course not. But guess what saved people do? They go to church, right? They let their light shine. Because if it's just one light shining in a dark place, it helps, don't get me wrong. But when you start to flood a dark place with all kinds of lights, all lights of Jesus, oh my goodness, it gets pretty bright, my friends, right? And little kids, when they're growing up in a congregation, guess what they need? Little Hopi, little Lukey, Emma, you know what they need. They got to have adults, so they say, oh, I get the acolyte like Nora someday. Oh, I get the usher, right? Just like Sherry and Tom. I get to read scripture. You see what we're doing? All of those things. When we're singing the hymns, everything that we're doing corporately, communally, together in the church is testifying, is shining, is salting, so that the little ones are embraced deeply by the love of Christ and they are growing up and into the faith of Jesus and maturing into the fullness of Christ himself. You all are. This morning, as I was looking at the news on my computer, I found out something I didn't know. You know who won the Super Bowl, right? Kansas City Chiefs. The Hunt family, they own that. The father, he died in 2006, and so all of his kids inherited it, right? I'm trying to remember. Is it Grant Hunt? Is he the one that is the CEO right now for the Kansas City Chiefs? Anyway, it's one of the Hunt sons. And when the Kansas City Chiefs won the AFC championship about 3 weeks ago, which meant they went to the Super Bowl, right? And they were hosting their trophy. And when he was being interviewed, he said, we want to thank the Lord for giving us this opportunity. All the glory goes to him. And then it said in the article I read today, he became a Christian when he was 10 years old. And they said, my identity is entirely in the faith of Jesus. And so in 2014, you know what the Hunt family started doing there? The place where the football team plays is called Arrowhead Stadium. And in a building right adjacent next to it, they have worship services before the game so that people can, in fact, worship. And then if they want to tailgate and go to the game, etc. But they didn't want to compromise what the main thing was on a Sunday. Worshiping our Lord and our Savior. All of these ways, we all who are by the grace of God, in the name of Jesus, sealed and marked with his holy cross on a hill far away, Huh? All of us are that city on a hill, the light of the world shining in us, for us, and through us, bringing the good news to others. That's who we are. That's who we are. We know that, right? We know who we are. So the only question is this. What does the world know when they see us? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.